a lot of people not here today, and it stretched our technical abilities a little bit, but we've made it through, which is great. Thank you to the singers who sung this morning. That was it's something new we're trying, so that Ray, when he's not here, we can just worship as close as to having him here as possible. But we're going to pray for Ray in a minute because he's not well at all. And also, most of you, or all of you, will have heard that Bob passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday. And we want to pray this morning for Bojana and the family, that God will just bring some peace to that situation. It's very difficult when you lose somebody. She's now on her own. She's in a foreign land, if you like, and she doesn't know how everything works. So she really needs a lot of love and support, and I'm sure she'll get that from us. But let's just pray together for Bojana and the family, and for Ray. Father, we thank you that you are concerned about every aspect of our life. And Lord, we go through some hard times, but you're there with us. You're making a way where sometimes there doesn't seem a way. And so we pray for Ray that you'll heal his body, restore him. For Bojana and all the family, that you will just bring peace to their heart. And you will make a way for them just to get through this next few weeks, and just bless them completely, we ask. Amen. Right, I'm just going over here again. That's it. I want you to be able to see me. God is always trying to do something in our lives. He's always trying to do something with us. And we're focusing really over the last few weeks, and certainly the next few weeks, about God growing us. Because it's important that as believers that we grow. And I just want to make, or help us understand what that means. We read in the Bible that all the time that we see salvation, which is the key, isn't it? Our new birth is really important, because it brings us into this new kingdom. It brings us into this relationship with God where he can begin to input into our lives. We are open to him working in us. And so salvation is the start of the journey, not the end. Sometimes we are satisfied with our salvation, but don't grow. And that's not what God wanted to do. And if you read any of Paul's letters, he's always talking about growing, about earnestly desiring, earnestly seeking after God, about not being blown about by every wind of doctrine, about being sure what you believe in, so that when these tough times come, we are not destroyed, we are not overcome with circumstances. And so we need to be mature, we need to be growing in God. God wants us to live an overcoming and powerful Christian life, experiencing fulfillment in everything we do and living in the peace and the joy of what God's got for us as we journey with him. So the areas that I want to look at this morning, if I get time, I may spill over to next week, but there are areas in our life that God really wants us to grow in, and I want us to identify those and give God an opportunity to do that. I learned something new this week, and I'll kind of just say that sometimes we expect God to just do everything. You know, our God is big, he's powerful, he's almighty. We understand who God is, and sometimes we just sit back and expect God to do it all. But that isn't the case. I was listening on the radio, as I do, as I'm driving around, and I was listening to how animals grow. And this is just amazing. It is just mind-blowing. They were talking about particular geese, about the fact that they sit around all summer eating. That's all they do. They just sit around it and hissing at you if you happen to go anywhere near them. But their muscles just grow and develop. All they do is eat, and their muscles develop. And when the season is right for them to migrate, they just fly off. They don't do any practice. You don't see him running around the edge of the lake, do you, like that, flapping the wings, trying to create strength. It's just inherent in who they are. God has designed them in such a way that they can reproduce through the summer. They eat, and then they fly. No exercises whatsoever. Isn't that awesome? And they were talking about the silverback gorilla. Have you ever seen a gorilla? It looks a bit like me. Very powerful looking beast. Huge animal that is incredibly strong. And all it does is sit around and eat fruit. That's it. You don't see in the corner of the jungle, do we? We don't see weights where after dinner they all go and lift weights to develop the strength. God has designed them in such a way that they develop their strength naturally. It's the way that they do. But we are not like that. If you want to develop strength, I mean, we're very good at sitting around and eating, aren't we? That's one of our strong points. We're great at that, but that doesn't develop any muscles whatsoever. And you think, wow, that's amazing. If we want to get fit, if we want to develop muscles, we've got to do something about it. We've got to actually be active in the way that we grow. We're different. We are different than animals. Maybe we could talk about creation and all that, but I just find that an amazing fact. And that just illustrates. And if you think about anything in nature, they don't sit around practicing doing things. They just do it because that's the way they've been designed. So when we talk about growing our spiritual muscles, if you like, growing in God, we've got to actively engage with God and work out our salvation with Him. We've got to be obedient and follow His directives to grow our spiritual muscles. We've got to go to the spiritual gym to grow our spiritual muscles. It don't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And so we've got to understand that, and we've got to work out what that means for us. How do we engage in this growth process so that I'm going to the spiritual gym and I'm developing my muscles? I'll tell you now what I'm going to finish with, and it's by prayer, it's by reading, and it's by fellowship. That's how we grow. Read, pray, be together. Read, pray. That will never change. But we've got to be involved in that. We've got to be proactive in our own growth process. Now, we can do all those things and still not grow. We can read, we can pray, we can come together. But we've got to give God our heart. We've got to be involved in it. Not just doing it because we have to do it. We've got to want things to happen in our lives. In many working environments, and you may be in one of these, I was pre-working here, pre-taking up this role, and it includes actually AOG ministers, there's an expectation that we engage in personal development. I had a personal development plan at work, and so you'd sit down with your manager and say, what are you going to do for the next year to develop so that in a year's time, you will be better than what you are now? And so there is this process that we recognise that we've got to always make plans to grow. We've got to do things to grow. Otherwise, we just stay as we are, whether it's in the workplace, at home, or our journey with God, our walk with God, or even as church. We've been through a church health program over the last couple of years, and it's part of Assemblies of God. It's what we're doing as a movement. We are health checking churches to make sure that they are growing and developing and getting hold of what God has actually got for us. We know from the picture that we get in John 15 around the vine that we have a connectivity to God. Our job, and I always say this, our job is to stay connected to the vine. It's God's job to grow us. So He does the growing, we do the sticking. And that comes through prayer, reading, and fellowship. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I command. If you love me, you will obey me. Indicating that there are things to do to demonstrate our love for God. If you love me, you will do what I command. And that's quite hard for some of us because we don't like doing what we're told. I don't know whether you're one of them. Most of us are at times. But the way we display our love to God is by being obedient, and He wants us to grow. He wants to put things in our lives that changes us. He wants to challenge some of our behaviors and our thinking. He wants us to be obedient to the whispering, the direction that the Holy Spirit is trying to take us. So when we talk about growing in God, there's a number of areas that I believe God wants us to let him deal with, and we're involved in that process. I used to think that I would grow up one day and it'll all be sorted. That one day I would wake up and I'd be like the perfect Christian because God's done it all in my sleep. I didn't have to do anything. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And if you're waiting for God to do that, you're going to be waiting till eternity, because it's not the way he works. He transforms us through our connection with him and our desire to be obedient, allow him to change us. God has given us everything we need, and we quote that scripture, don't we? God's given us everything we need for life and for godliness, but we need to access that through continual growth and connection with him. We know that our salvation is based on faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us, not just about knowing who Jesus is. So when we know something, we've got to do something about it. When we are first faced with that challenge, that revelation that Jesus Christ died for my sin, we've got a decision to make. Are we going to follow Jesus or not? Many of us have. Sometimes we can be proud and we can go, I know God wants to save me, but I don't want to follow him. They don't want to obey all that Christ has done for them or got for them. And so when we understand something, we can make a decision. So as we go through this and we begin to understand what God is trying to do, it just helps us in our process of growing. 2 Peter 3 says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We're encouraged to continue growing in our knowledge of who Christ is and all that he's done for us. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean just knowing about him, but it's knowing about him and letting him do something in us. As we increase our knowledge and understanding of just how big this gift of salvation is, his grace just pours into our hearts and our lives when we make that decision to keep on growing. We're armed with knowledge, and when we come under the attack from the enemy, we know where to go in the Word to find the answer to encourage our heart. So as we read the Word, we know where to go when we come under attack. If we don't read the Word, we don't know where to go. We don't know what Jesus has given to us. We haven't got that knowledge. We are responsible for our own growth, and we have a responsibility to read and study to increase our knowledge of Christ. It's amazing, isn't it, what we actually know. The stuff that we pick up as we journey through life. And it's amazing what comes into my mind because I know it. And how often are we doing things and you'll start singing and you think, oh, I've not sung that for 20 years. Or there'll be something on the radio from the 60s. One of the songs from the 60s, and most of us would know those straight away. But we only know them because we know them. We only know them because it's in our makeup, it's in our understanding. If it wasn't there, we couldn't sing it. And so many things in life we have experienced and we know, and we can draw on that knowledge. And that's why it's so important that we get to know who Jesus is. Because at those times when we need him, we go back to where in the Word it tells us how we can draw on him for our strength. God is trying to work in our character. He wants us to grow as a person. And he exampled this when we read in Luke chapter 2, it says this, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. We don't know much about the early years of Jesus. We know a lot about when he came to ministry. We get little snippets of Jesus as a child, but there's this period where we don't really know what he did. But it says he grew in wisdom and he grew in stature and in favour with God. But all the people around him knew that there was something about Jesus that they'd not seen before. He grew in the midst of people. And so there is that expectation that we do the same, that we grow in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and those around us. He was authentic in the way he lived his life, and his character was recognised by God and by man. God takes us as we are. I'm just so grateful for that, that he doesn't wait till we're almost ready, or that we're ready, or that we're good enough. He takes us as we are. He takes us as raw material, and he begins to do something new in our lives, which is just awesome. God has got a destiny for each of us. He's got somewhere where he's taking us. He's got something for us that we are working towards. But we've got to grow in our character and reflect the values of God so that our Christian life can be authentic. Many of us restrict what God can do because of who we are, because our character needs to be worked on. And character can be hard to change. We're so used to ourselves, we're so used to our own behaviours, which we think is normal, and nobody else does. I don't know if you've met anybody like that, that they behave in such a way, and you go, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And they go, well, so I always do this. This is who I am. And our normality sometimes overwhelms us, and it doesn't give God an opportunity to really break in. So God uses the challenges of life to change who we are. And we go through things, and we sometimes wonder why we're going through them. Why am I facing this difficulty? But in the view of life and growing, then God uses circumstances to grow as we begin to understand what's going on. The more mature we become in our faith, we face our trials and tribulations, if you like, in a different way, because we understand sometimes God's trying to do something with me here. But very often we can be resistant to that, and so it just keeps on going. But circumstances always give an opportunity for growth. If you go down to the gym and you start lifting weights, it hurts, I would imagine. I've never done it. But I would imagine there will be some pain involved. And sometimes you kind of go to the gym and you think, ooh, that hurt, I'm not doing that again. And we can stop growing. And sometimes in our Christian life, as our character gets stretched a little by God, it can be unpleasant, because it kind of undermines the root of who we are. It gets right into our heart and begins to change us. And sometimes that's painful. There's some things about us that God doesn't like, but we do. And we don't want to let go. We want to keep hold of certain things about who we are. But God is trying to change our character. He wants us to become authentic in the way that we live and reflect him in a way that is demonstrating God working in us. So he's always trying to change our character. He says this in Romans 5. Oh dear, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. I don't think many of us rejoice when this happens, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Did you know that was in the Bible? Some tough words, those, aren't they? Some hard words. We can rejoice when problems come, because what they're going to do is build some endurance into our hearts. And that develops our character. It gives us backbone, spiritual backbone, to face life, knowing that God is in it and God is working in us and strengthens our hope of salvation. Often we pray for our circumstances to be removed, when we should be rejoicing in them. maybe we should pray a different prayer. God, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but can we work it out together? Can we do this quickly? I want to understand what's happening. Is it you? Now, there are times when the enemy will come against us, and we've got to recognize that. But this is things that God is trying to do in our lives through circumstances, and it allows God to change our character. As our character changes, it begins to sort of grow our understanding of God and what he's trying to do in our hearts. So he's trying to change our character. It's something that will always be happening all the way through our lives. And so we've got to kind of settle the fact that God is going to keep on changing us. It's going to be a process that goes on until we go to be with the Lord. So when we settle that, we approach change in a different way. But it's going to keep on happening. God wants us to bear fruit in our lives. Fruit comes from a healthy tree, but also from a mature tree. Now, I'm not saying I'm a gardener or anything, but I know if you plant an apple tree or a pear tree or something like that, it takes a number of years for that tree to mature and to begin to produce fruit. And so it is with us. As we are maturing in God, we begin to produce fruit and more fruit. Galatians 5 tells us a little bit about what the fruit is. Well, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against this. So we are producing, or the Holy Spirit is producing this fruit in our lives. And as we mature, we should be producing more fruit. And we know that in any aspect of gardening, there is a pruning process that goes on as well that allows us to produce more fruit. So some of those are what God is doing in our lives. It's those challenges we face, and God will be cutting off the bits that he wants to cut off so that we produce more fruit. But we've got to be willing. We've got to be in it, if you like, to win it. We've got to be allowing God to do that. I don't know whether you've tried pruning things or what, but when something's dead, it's quite easy to prune straight off. So when something's died in us, something, one of our desires, one of our ambitions, our selfish thoughts, when it's dead, it's easy for God to prune off. Bang, it's gone. But if there's life going to it, if we're feeding those things, when we try and cut live branches, they're much harder to cut off, much more painful to deal with. So God is always trying to produce fruit in us. It's important that we are doing those things that allow that to happen. That is just staying connected to the vine. As we connect to him, he begins to grow us, and he grows fruit in our lives. God also wants to grow faith in us. He says in Hebrews 11, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." We've got to believe, we've got to have faith in who God is and what he's trying to do. Otherwise, it's pointless. Without faith, we can't please God. We haven't got that connection with God because we're not trusting him absolutely. We're not sure of who he is. Some people kind of have a belief in God that he exists, but they haven't got a relationship with God. They've not really got any faith around believing in God. But when we become believers, that faith is planted in our hearts and it begins to grow. 1 Chronicles 28. "And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. We've really got to have a life of seeking God with our whole heart. I think everything that we talk about in terms of our relationship with God, it's got to be our whole heart. God is looking for our heart connection. He's not looking just for us to do things for him. He doesn't need us to do that. He's looking for our heart. When we give him our heart, he can begin to work more effectively in our lives. He says if we seek after God, we will find him if we're truly seeking him. And God gives us faith to do that. Our faith needs to grow so that we understand that God wants to be more to us than simply existing. He's more than that. He wants us to have an expansive relationship where he can do more than we can imagine or think. Have you got faith for that? Have you got faith to believe that God wants to do more with you than you can imagine or think? I find that just an exciting scripture that we read in Ephesians, that God can do more than we can imagine or think. But we need faith in our hearts to get hold of that promise of God. In our walk for God, or with God, the only limiting factor that we face is who we are, our lack of faith. And faith is grown by hearing the word of God and understanding the heart of God towards us. The Holy Spirit takes hold of what we have heard or read and reveals the truth of God to our hearts, which causes our faith to grow. In its simplest form, we just believe in what the Bible says. That's what faith is. It's believing what the Bible says. It's putting our trust in God that when he says something, it is true. I know when we do our Freedom in Christ course, that's how they describe faith. It's simply reading the word and putting our faith in it and believing it. And so when God says he can do more than you can imagine or think, do you believe that, or do you think it's just something that makes us feel better? And so we've got to come to a point where we are growing in our faith for him. And as we grow in faith, we are releasing God to stretch our expectation of what is possible in life and to live the plans that God has got for us. So those are just a few of the things I'll continue next week. But he's trying to change our character. He's trying to work in us so that we become more Christ-like, and that can be quite a challenge. And very often we face issues in life that cause us to actually grow in God, that allow God to change who we are. He wants us to grow fruit in our lives so that we actually benefit those around us, so that anybody who bumps into us, whether in church or at home, at school, at work, they are tasting the fruit of who we are. And he wants us to grow in our faith. He wants to do more than we can imagine or think. But we've got to be in that place where God is growing our faith, where it's not just a matter of we come here and we sing and then we go home, but he wants us to get hold of something about himself that grows our faith so that we can begin to reach the promises that God has got for our lives. So I'm going to just finish there. We'll continue growing. Growing is so important, I think, in the Church of Jesus Christ. We want to grow and be a church that really demonstrates who God is. As a leader, I want to see everybody grow in all these areas of life. But we do that by reading, by praying, and by being together, by sharing our experiences and growing together in all these things. Thank you for listening to me. I'll hand back to Michael.